The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
I'm Senga and welcome to Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings here in the South. Today's guest is Julia Bradshaw, Senior Curator of Human History at Canterbury Museum in Christchurch. So welcome along to Heritage South, Julia.
Kia ora, thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. I'm very excited.
Excellent. It's really great to be here. It's nice to be back in the South, actually.
Oh, good, yes. I'm actually really keen, Julia, just to kick us off, to find out how a girl with a BSc in geography who ended up working as a track guide and even a beekeeper out of uni, how did you end up working in the arts, heritage and culture sector?
I think it was because it really started with the Holyford track. I was a track guide and I was reading a lot, learning a lot about the history and sharing it with our visitors. And I started wanting to know more about the district, about the area, and doing some research. And then I wanted to start writing about it. So I decided I wanted to be a writer and I wanted to write. And I did that for a while, but you can't make a living at it, unfortunately.
Sadly.
So then by that stage, I was living in Arrowtown and a position came up at the Lakes District Museum in Arrowtown. And I'd had a friend who had worked there, and this was in the days, if you know, it was who you knew. And the darling director there, David Clark, he took a chance on me and gave me a role at the museum. And I've never looked back, really. So that was looking after the archives there, but also developing exhibitions. And David encouraged me to do an oral history project on about the scheelite miners who'd been at Glenorchy up until sort of the 1970s. So I went and interviewed a lot of people, and then that turned into a book. And then that's kind of when I realised that's what I really liked doing. But also working with a collection is really important to me. And the BSc in geography, geography is a very broad subject, so that the research skills came in really handy, but also the having kind of the science and the interest in human history actually works together really well. And I'm really fortunate at Canterbury Museum that we've got a big natural history collection, and I get to rap with the natural history curators about some of the amazing things that we have in the collection.
And so, because that was one of the things that I was curious about, is that job titles are always a really interesting thing, but of course you are the Senior Curator of Human History. So what exactly does that role entail for you?
It's a really varied role. You can be doing any number of things on a different day because we're responding to inquiries and you never know what inquiries are going to come in. So you're trying to help people find what they want to find in the collection, arrange for them to view it if we have it, or provide information or copies of photographs. We're also involved with acquiring objects for the collection. So people approach us with something they think might be good for the museum collection and we evaluate it. And then if we think it is a good addition, then we'll propose it to our collections development committee. And we also are involved in doing public programs, so as much as possible we're sharing information about the collection and what we have. And then we also have a research component to the role as well, which is researching things to do with the collection, but also sometimes it just goes a bit further. You know, like I've got quite involved in researching, for example, bigamy, which I've done several academic articles on now because it's just a topic that needed to be researched.
And we're going to come back and talk about that because I think that's very interesting. But I feel actually, Julia, that you and I are kindred spirits. You know, I feel like, you know, if we were in a Pollyanna novel, we'd be Anne of Green Gables, we'd be absolutely bosom buddies, because it sounds to me like you're a little bit like me in that a typical day, there is no such thing. That you love to be able to respond to the things that people are telling you, all the questions you're being asked by people, and there's nothing, it's like going down the rabbit hole. You know, that whole idea of research as a leisure activity. Well, actually, if you get to do research and someone pays you for it, even better.
It's amazing. And I think one of the cool things about the inquiries is you end up learning about parts of the collection that you knew nothing about, but because you have to go and find it, then you have to go and find out why it's important or get photographs of it. It broadens your knowledge, and if you've got an inquiring mind, then you're like, oh, that's interesting. Well, maybe someone else would want to know about that, and it might lead to a blog or even an article or all sorts of different directions, but it is fascinating.
Or a book, and of course we're going to get to that too. I do think it is interesting, isn't it, that you it's almost like a little bit of a history jigsaw puzzle, where the more jigsaw puzzle pieces you have, the more you start to put things together, and you're making connections with things on a deeper level because you're, you know, developing those topics in your own mind as well as everything else. Kind of leads me on a little bit to this idea. So you are a member of FANZA, which I think is great, because I used to be a member of SLANZA, which is the School Library Association of New Zealand, Aotearoa. But of course, what is FANZA?
FANZA is the Professional Historians Association of New Zealand, Aotearoa. And it's an organisation for historians who work in a professional capacity within New Zealand, but not necessarily in the academic world, so not necessarily at universities. And it's a very collegial sharing kind of network for people who are engaged in history.
Yeah, I think it would be getting together with people who share your interest, even if it's not a specific interest in history, the general idea that you're all fascinated in various topics in history, I think is really cool. So talk me through a little bit about the kinds of research inquiries that you might come across in the course of any given day. Because I know that when I worked as the research librarian at the public library, and it was amazing the kinds of things that you got coming in.
Sometimes it is people coming in and they're like, we think that you have something connected to our family. And then through a process of elimination, you find out what surname it would be associated with when it was donated. And then you find the object. And then sometimes that's quite complicated, because in the past we had all sorts of different cataloguing systems. And it, of course, wasn't computerised, which it is now, but there's still sometimes a bit of detective work to be done. And then often they might want to come and see these objects. And so then we arrange an access visit, and then you get to meet them and you hear stories about the objects, and you can add that to the object's record so it's there for the future and all those things. It's a very rewarding process.
You talked before about having been involved with oral histories in the past as well. That's certainly something really close to my heart. And, of course, we have the Southland Oral History Project down here as part of Heritage South as well, and it's the richness of those stories, isn't it, that also contributes to that human interest in our history.
Yeah, I've done a few oral history projects, not recently. It's something I've not been involved with so much, but with the shearlite mining at Glenorchy, as I mentioned, I did an oral history project on people who'd grown up in the Haast district before the road went through, and that led to a book called The Far Downers. And then I also did some work for the New Zealand Antarctic Society, interviewing people who were on the Transantarctic Expedition with Edmund Hillary and Alan with Fuchs, that went, first transantarctic crossing. So, and that project particularly, I remember you got these different points of view about, whether Hillary's decision to make a race for the pole was the right one, and the effect it had on the mechanics who were trying to keep the tractors going. And, you know, I think with oral history, you get to see a bit more below the surface than you do from, say, newspaper reports so that they are very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you bring all those things together, and it's a much richer experience for the people who are doing the research on whatever it is that has drawn them to Canterbury Museum. You were talking before about the fact that you'd worked at the Lakes District Museum, but of course you didn't just go from Lakes District to the Canterbury Museum. So tell me a little bit about the types of things that you were doing in between times.
So from the Lakes District Museum in Arrowtown, I went to the Hokitika Museum. That was really interesting, but and I guess I can say this now, but at the time it was contracted out, so the council wasn't running it. They'd an independent contractor was running it, and that was problematic. And so I went to work at Shantytown, which is near Greymouth, and that was really interesting. That's where they gave me the time to work on a book about Chinese miners on the West Coast. So I wrote a book called Golden Prospects, and the reason that came about was I was familiar, of course, with the Chinese story at Arrowtown and in central Otago. And when I got to Shantytown, although there had been a lot of Chinese miners on the West Coast, the only examples they had in their sort of recreated Chinatown was Otago examples. And so I was like, well, there must be some West Coast ones. So I couldn't find them. So that's why I started.
You started digging.
I started digging. That's right.
So for people who don't know what Shantytown is.
So Shantytown is a historic village run by the West Coast Historical and Mechanical Society Incorporated. It's been there since the early 1970s, and it's basically, it has original buildings and some recreated buildings. It has a running train service, which is hugely popular, and people can go there and kind of get an impression what it might have been like to live in a gold rush town.
That sounds worth visiting.
Yeah, they can go gold panning as well.
Oh, there you go. Very good. So you've done that twice then, because Lakes District, you get that opportunity to go gold panning there. And, of course, so there's a bit of a seam running through
there. Yeah, there is the gold rush theme. That's right.
So one of the other things that has recently happened through Heritage New Zealand in Christchurch is, of course, the opening of the Kate Shepherd House. My understanding, it had been a family home after the Shepherd family sold it. It had been family homes through the years, and right up until the special anniversary for suffrage, the people that had been living there didn't even know that it had that special connection, that Kate Shepherd had actually lived there. But of course, when it came up for sale in 2018, the New Zealand government decided that they really needed to secure this for the public. And so that's a really great experience that people can go along. And I know that you were part of the reference group for that. So I think that would have been a really nice project. I know you weren't like hands-on, but it must have been really nice to have watched that kind of develop from afar.
Yeah, it's a really great project, and I encourage anybody who's in Christchurch to go, because it's such a significant story, and the interpretation that they have there explains it really well, but also takes it up to the modern day with, you know, when laws have changed and progress that has been made, or perhaps maybe they've recently updated it, not quite so update, so good. But just to be in that house and to be in the room where the table is and imagine this group of people, you know, discussing the petition, putting the petition together, pasting it together, it's a really powerful place to be.
Now, I know that obviously you've just recently been down in the South as a guest speaker at the recent Heritage South AGM. We had a korero event at Hei Wakatuia, and because you have been putting all of this research to very good use, Julia, you are, well, I think you've finished the research, you've finished the writing, but there's a book in the pipeline called Digging Deep, Women on the New Zealand Goldfields. That's due out next year.
Yep. I have submitted the manuscript, which is a very good feeling. It's in the editing process at the moment. But this is a collection of stories that I wanted to share about women on the goldfields, because I, you know, having worked on all these goldfields places, I was aware that the story of women wasn't being told. I kept coming across interesting women doing interesting things that were not recorded anywhere. So
I'm excited to invite you back to actually talk about some of those stories about women on the goldfields. And I know that at the AGM you spoke specifically about those southern goldfields. So I hope you'll come back and chat to me for our next episode.
Of course.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining me, Julia. And thanks for joining us for listening to Heritage South. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you don't want to miss any episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through the Access Media app, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.